are omitted. Hear now the word of God as it comes to us from the New Testament, a letter from Paul to his friend Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good we may do in Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me during my imprisonment, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your good deed may be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in body and in spirit. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about you owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you knowing that you will do even more than what I say. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. In the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, be with you in your spirit. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Again, come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts might be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it was the Sunday of Labor Day weekend, just like today, except back in 1989. My husband and I had been discussing when to announce to our respective churches, where we were both associate pastors, that we were expecting our first child. We decided to reveal our good news several weeks later, at the end of September. So I went to church that Labor Day Sunday, pledging to keep our secret. No one was going to know. However, breakfast wore off, and I was up in front leading the liturgy when I saw the alarm in people's faces, and I thought, I must look as horrible as I feel. And so to ease their worries, I announced that indeed I was not carrying the plague, but a baby. And yes, I said, gripping the podium because I was so shaky on my feet, I am pregnant. And with that, my senior pastor jumped out of the seat like here and ran up to the microphone and said, Labor Day, get it? I didn't think it was very funny. I was sitting there holding on for dear life, but my husband was not happy that I had kind of blown our secret, but he relented because a few weeks later, when we were supposed to announce it, I was preaching, and I was feeling even worse, and so I got through the sermon. I mumbled an amen, and then I snuck out a door. There was a door that would have been about there, And I said, I'm just going to be sick. And I went and found the farthest bathroom away, and I threw up. And I thought, it doesn't matter. I made it. I slunk on the bathroom floor. I went, it just doesn't matter. It's all done, and no one is any wiser. And I looked down, and my portable mic was still on. So Labor Day has a different connotation for me. It brings back memories, some of which are quite nauseating. But of course, Labor Day wasn't started for pregnant women, but rather for workers whose rights had been largely ignored. And ironically, just a few decades before we first celebrated Labor Day in America, not only did we ignore workers' rights, we still had slavery. Slavery. Now that's nauseating. Though slavery in the New Testament is a tad different than slavery in 19th century America, the rights of slaves back then were likewise ignored. Slavery in the New Testament was often a means of paying off debt. You'd sell yourself or your children into slavery, and when the debt was paid, you could go free. But of course, until the debt was paid, your well-being was dependent upon the wishes of your master. Well, today's scripture involves a slave, Onesimus. An unusual name, Onesimus means useful. But Onesimus wasn't a very useful slave to his master, Philemon of Colossae. We don't know what exactly Onesimus did. Many scholars believed he was a thief, he stole, he was a criminal, he ran away. Some maybe thought he just slacked off. No one knows. But whatever it was, he messed up. And this book of Philemon is just a personal letter, the only one we have of Paul, written to one of his friends. So Paul is in prison when he writes Philemon saying, hey, Onesimus has changed. He's a Christian. I get that he's your slave, but could you treat him like a brother? Hey, if you're worried about the debt, I'll pay it off. Don't ask me how someone in jail could pay it off, but he said, I'll pay it off. Come on, Philemon, I've forgiven him. Can't you? With friends like Paul, who needs enemies? Well, I don't know what Philemon thought of this letter, but perhaps we can benefit from it, for it highlights labor that we Christians can still do today. Not slave labor, but Paul's labor of love. Paul, by encouraging Philemon, encourages us still toward compassion, forgiveness, and prayer. Well, I gotta admit, I researched this sermon Monday, did a lot of work on it, but then by Tuesday, I thought, Paul, you may have been in jail, but you know, we're not all that far behind you being on lockdown. And those things that you encourage, they're not easy. Like compassion. I don't know about you, but when the manhunt was at its height going on for the killers of Lieutenant Joe Glinowitz, I wasn't thinking about compassion. I was thinking about justice and sometimes even revenge. And forgiveness? Who? Sorry, wrong week to bring that up. You know, the tragedy Tuesday didn't involve only one family, but a whole community, as Greg mentioned in the prayers. Wednesday morning during our MOPS program, some mothers of young children were saying that their children had just started school that week, first time school attendance, and their kids were frightened and they were wondering about the long-term ramifications. One mom said her little one was so scared that she put her child on the bus Wednesday morning to go back to school, and the bus's windows were open because it was hot, and she heard her child crying all the way down the street. Really, Paul? Forgiveness? So how does Paul respond? Paul, who is in jail. Well, you know, he should have treated Onesimus as one of those people. A slave, and probably a criminal at that. But Paul knew that the compassion and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, they aren't limited by our standards or what we expect, and thankfully they're not limited by our bad choices. So Christian compassion, does that still apply to all of us today? And if so, what does it look like? And Paul, due to his faith in Jesus Christ, labored to forgive others, even those who threw him in jail, even those who were social pariahs. So forgiveness, does that still apply to us today? And if so, what does that look like? And of course, Paul prayed. Oh, we prayed this week a lot, constantly. But then, when the urgency is gone and life moves on, do we go back to our somewhat lackadaisical attitude toward prayer? You know, soon we will be choosing a pastoral search committee, and some of you have expressed concern that such a small committee can adequately represent an entire church. But you know, we all have a role in this process. Every one of us is called to pray for both the committee and the pastor or pastors who will call Wildwood Presbyterian Church their home. And the more prayers in this process, the better. Now, I know praying like that doesn't feel as urgent and as necessary as the prayers we prayed constantly this week, but perhaps it is. So compassion, forgiveness, and prayer, these are labors of all Christians. Though, you know, sometimes we think of these so-called labors aren't as important as actually doing stuff. I don't know about you, but I feel better when I get things accomplished. I have something to show for it when I actually do stuff. But as Christians, perhaps our biggest labor is to trust. Trust that the Lord is actually doing stuff. Stuff way beyond our ability. So let's go back to our scripture. As mentioned, this is a letter from Paul to Philemon about the disappointing slave named Onesimus. Ironic, since his name meant useful and he was anything but. But having this letter is like the first part of a two-part movie, and Netflix won't let you see the second part. We don't know what happened. We wonder, did Philemon fulfill Paul's request? Was Onesimus freed? Forgiven? All we have is this letter, so we don't know. Or do we? Years later, after Paul had died and the church was living, there was another man in jail for his faith, and his name was Ignatius. And while in jail, Ignatius wrote letters that still survive because he was martyred for his faith. And in the letters, he wrote about this greatly beloved, greatly respected Bishop of Colossae, whose faith and manner transformed the entire Christian community there. Ignatius pleaded with the church to live like this bishop, to model themselves, ourselves, after this bishop. And who was the bishop of Colossae? Onesimus. I guess he became pretty useful after all. By the grace and labor of our Lord, he actually became more than useful. He became the leader of hope, he became the leader of grace, and he became courage incarnate for our fledgling church. So we may think our labor is insignificant, or we may think the labor we are called to do is too demanding, especially after weeks like this. But even when we labor just a little, or we labor imperfectly, the Lord's labor never stops. And the Lord's labor is not dependent on what we do or how perfectly we do it. The Lord's labor transforms our lives and our world in ways we can't see and in ways we can't even imagine. I'm sure when Paul wrote that letter, he never imagined that criminal slave next to him would be the bishop of one of the largest churches. So my friends, despite the pain, despite grief, despite our wondering, why? And even despite what bad guys do, the Lord continues to labor among us and through us and around us. Remember that. Remember that during your worst week, even during your most nauseating week, remember that the Lord labors on. So tomorrow, I hope you have a wonderful Labor Day celebration. Thanks be to God. Amen.